Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
How is
Morning, Yun.
morning?
So we see a lot of new faces today. Thanks a lot for joining us. We know Sundays are very precious. Just a quick recap of what we do at the Angel's Wing is that we feature independent artists' art. And the reason why I started it is because I realized that as an independent artist, it's really difficult to get your art showcase to the world, right? I mean, every one of us is on Twitter. You see all the hype and all the shilling. It's all mainly the PFP projects, the 10K PFP projects. And I wanted to have a gallery which showcased and helped independent artists who didn't have a full marketing team behind them to try to get more visibility for their work. And I would like to say that with the help of my very gracious co-host here, Yun, Espresso, and Johannes, who couldn't join us today. It's been pretty successful. We've seen art fly off the walls. We've seen people visiting us. I think we have more than 1,000 visits in less than 2 months. So we hope that our community just keeps growing. And thank you very much for joining us. And we hope that you'll join us as part of the community. So we do hold these regular kind of spaces on a weekly basis. And we take this as a very cozy fireside chat. We're not too concerned that we don't have like millions of people joining. It's all recorded, so do feel free to listen back in if you do miss one. Okay, I hope I didn't take up too much time, Espresso.
That's great. Thank you. No, that was good. We will pin a tweet also that makes it easy to find the gallery at some point now. But I think we want to go ahead and welcome our special guest of the day, Ali. She's been joining the gallery recently, and we invited her here today to introduce herself and her project. And excited to learn more about the 100-day project. So, Ali, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure, I'm a little bit nervous, so just kind of bear with me. This is the first time I've ever been on a Spaces as like somebody talking about myself and like what I'm doing, so just bear with me.
Yes, no problem. It's early for all of us. Like, yeah, we've been only doing these spaces for a few times already, so yeah, no
Okay,
worries.
awesome. So first, I just want to say thank you, everyone, so much for having me up here. I love talking about my artwork when I do get the chance. Also, just wanted to say that 1,000 visits in less than 2 months to the Angels Wing gallery, like that's amazing because I've had some of my work shown in like local little galleries, like in my hometown, and I feel like maybe total, in one type of month, maybe they'll get a couple hundred people. So like it's really cool what you guys are doing to and gals and folks to showcase independent artists, because there's that kind of visibility that independent artists might not get even in their home community. So that's really cool. Yeah, so keep doing what you're doing. So my name is Allie, and I am doing like Espresso said, the 100 day project. And there's kind of two parts of the project. So the first part is I created a series of one-of-one PFP art, which is what's hanging currently now in the gallery in the West Wing. And it is a myriad of different, it's I call it the 100 Girl Collection. And so each girl corresponds to a different day. And this was a project that I did because I really enjoy, basically I've been drawing girls in some form or another with this kind of style probably like most of my life. I'm in my early 30s now, and like I just have so many notebooks full of like the same type of style of art, and I just really thought it'd be cool to take that style and also kind of expand it and do some cool things and make it into like a one of one Genesis collection. And then part of that too is, so that's the 100 Day Girl collection. And so what I'm actually doing on Twitter, I kind of see it as a, bear with me, I kind of see it as like a performance art piece in a sense, where I am documenting my process of creating a 10K generative collection every day. So basically what that means for me is that every day I will post a list every day of what I'm doing that day to keep me accountable, and also gives people kind of like a peek in to what the life of an NFT creator is. Because I think a lot of the time we see these projects just kind of like pop up, and we don't really know about all the work that goes behind it. And I'm just like one person doing this. So a lot of it is trial and error, and just kind of, I kind of feel like I do like a half start of something. Like I'm like, ooh, maybe I'll start on TikTok. And then I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. So it's a lot of that process. I'm trying to show that process so that, I don't know, just so like it's more appreciated, because I just absolutely love process and process documentation and things like that in art. So I thought it'd be cool to document that process. So part of the way that the 100 Girl 100 Day collection kind of fits in with the 10K PFP collection is I kind of see it as, in one way, it's like a fundraiser to like help me with the 10K collection, but also I kind of see it as a Genesis collection. So there's a lot of elements from that 100 days that I am pulling into the collection, like the bigger collection. So like outfits or like hairstyles. I love hairstyles. So, and I'll, so that's kind of, I'm rambling a little bit, but that's kind of a nutshell. I'm not sure I really encapsulated that super clearly. So if you have any questions or clarity questions, I would absolutely love to hear them. So,
no, Ali, I think you're doing really well. Just for everyone's convenience, I've pinned the tweet on the pinned tweets section, so you can have a look at. I believe these are the one ones, right, Ali?
Yep.
The ones that are hung up on the wall. And so what you're saying is that on top of these one ones, you will have a 10K generative collection. Would it be accurate to say that they would kind of look similar to these, or are they entirely different?
So that's a very good question. So I'm actually currently trying to decide, like, I think, for example, like the rainbow hair that you can kind of see in that pinned tweet, like I am going to be doing, I am going to be taking a hairstyle similar to that rainbow hair. It might not be exactly the same. So like, it's going to look similar, but it's not going to look identical, I guess, if that makes sense. Because these are very special to me, the one of ones. And I did put a lot of time in, so like, I'm not going to take them, you know, exactly, but they should look similar, if that makes sense.
Yeah, can hardly wait to see your generative collection. I mean, it's quite an admirable effort, I think, to be able to do it in 100 days. To be real honest, we have kind of toyed with the idea ourselves of coming up with some NFTs, maybe. Secret alpha drop here, guys. I'm not even sure where to start. How do you even get started? That's my first question on the technical details, like the different layers, the different attributes. Could you just give us a little bit of insight into your journey on that?
Absolutely. So basically, the way I've kind of broken up the 100 days is like the first 25 days with a lot of research and planning and just kind of like seeing what's out there. And I took a look of tools. So it's interesting because building a generative collection, there's a lot that goes into it, but there's a lot from an art perspective, but also from a technical perspective. And as someone who's definitely more art focused, part of the first 25 days was I was researching ways that if I absolutely could not figure out any kind of coding, is there like an all-in-one option that I could kind of go to as a last resort to do the kind of coding? But for the generative art piece, basically, no, let's start from the very beginning. So when I was making the collection, one of the first things I looked at was the size of the actual screen. So like, what size do you want your NFT to be? Because some collections, like the punk, crypto punks, like those are like really, really small and they're very pixelated. But then you have something like the World of Women and even Meta Angels, which I think is 4K by 4K pixels. Like, so like a canvas size that's quite big. So for me, the first step for me was really researching, okay, well, how big do I want to make it, the canvas? Because that is the very start. And then the next stage, I kind of decided that I'm going to start with the biggest size I can, my iPad can manage. And then once I kind of have my, so sorry, I'm going to start with the biggest size my iPad can manage, which is the 4K by 4K size. And then if it makes sense, or if it becomes too cumbersome when I'm doing some of the generative art, I'll just like size the art pieces down, basically. So like my next step for me was then I wanted to look at so I think one of the problems a lot of generative collections have is that they don't spend enough time looking at the visual impact of their PFPs, if that's what they're going to be used for. I think a lot of these days, like, you can make beautiful art NFTs as well, but for me, I'm kind of thinking about this as like, I like to call it art to market. So basically, I'm trying to make art that is both art that I'm happy with as myself as an artist, but also something that somebody might want to buy. Because I think also as artists, I make a lot of crazy things that aren't necessarily marketable. So for me, I'm trying to kind of have a balance of art that is something that somebody actually wants. And in this market lately, it's the PFP. So that's kind of why I chose to go down that route for the generative collection. So we have the canvas size, and then I'm looking at the visual impact of the PFP. So basically, like, I did a lot of research on, like, how does something look when you crop it down into that little tiny profile pic size on Twitter or on Discord. So, like, where is the art going to be seen, and how to make it the most visually impactful that I can. I'm not sure I've fully, you know, cracked the code on that. So I've been testing a lot of, like, basically doing a lot of just random sketches of, like, what I would like the PFP to look like, and then testing it, sketches of what I'd like the art to look like, and testing that in the different colors as, like, little PFP. So this is actually a test. My PFP right now is actually one of the ones that I'm testing. So visually, I don't necessarily like the background in this one. So I might either not have this color, or like when I am generating the NFTs, I might make sure that this color doesn't, you know, come up with this hairstyle, for example, because I don't think it has a good visual impact. So now I kind of had a lot of that stuff sort of sorted out, and I did a little bit of research into traits as well. So, and also research into how, what the actual drawing of a PFP collection, like what it actually looks like. So for example, like if we just kind of scroll through here, like a lot of these are just kind of like a portrait, like a full-on face portrait. Other PFPs, they kind of have the like three-quarter face looking right or three-quarter face looking left. And then some also have like just straight profile, either looking left or right. So this is just kind of, for me, I'm not the best artist with a three-quarter view or with profile. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to go with the straight, like the profile kind of look here, like what a lot of these have. So, you know, I was trying to play to my strengths there a little bit. And then, so kind of when I got like, so I've got the canvas sorted out, I kind of have an idea of what I want the style to look like. I've kind of played with it a little bit. I also have an idea of how I want the character to, like the base character. So like they're gonna be looking forward, not like left or right. So that's kind of the very basics. And then now I'm kind of moving into the more like fun, creative side where I'm actually basically I'm just making a bunch of traits. So basically, I'm gonna go back. So something else that I did a little bit of research on was the number of traits that are in a collection. So for example, like, how do I put this? So like you have the hair, that's one trait. If I'm looking at my PFP right now, it's like the cat ears, that's another trait. Skin color, that's a trait. Face, t-shirt, etc. So these are the little pieces that'll get mixed up when you do the generative part of the PFP creation. So typically, I looked at a few different collections from like World of Women to like Bored Apes, like Doodle, like kind of like the bigger ones. And generally, they don't tend to have that many or that few. They tend to have anywhere between like 7 to 9 actual traits, which are the things that kind of get like mixed up. So like they'll have like hair, hat, t-shirt, different things, but it usually doesn't. It's usually less than 10.
I guess that feeds into your point about having to make sure all of them look kind of coherent, right? You can't have too many because then you have to go through huge number of permutations.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it also, I prefer myself like a bit of a more, not a minimalist style, but just a style that is visually cohesive, I guess is like this, what I would call it. And I think there's some traits, some collections that do have a bit more of a, maybe like a cluttered look and it kind of works for them. Like I'm thinking like 90s babes, like they have a lot of like stuff going on. It kind of works for them, but for me, I was like, I kind of tried to do what I like. So I think that's also kind of what I was talking about earlier with like the art to market aspect, where like, I want to do something that's true to me as an artist, but also something that someone else might want to buy someday, who knows. So yeah, right now I'm actually in a lot of the treat art creation, generation, that type of stuff, which basically looks like a lot of drawing, a lot of testing. I'm actually trying to pull a lot of my traits themselves from my old childhood drawings. So I'm like, just kind of like taking a stack of like old notebooks and like photographing them and being like, oh, this hairstyle might be cool on a PFP. I think just for fun. And also I'm like, you know, I've already done all these drawings, so I might as well try and use them for something.
Yeah, that's so great to be able to reuse work and not have to start from scratch. But looking at the 100 Girls collection, there's so much variety in this. And we also have that illustrated with the four in the gallery, as you can see in this pinned tweet as well. There's lots of different styles. And do you have any thoughts on how many of these will go into the generative collection, or if you want to distinguish some of them, maybe?
Yeah, so I think I'm not going to take all of the traits or all of the things from the 100 Day Girl collection, and especially the ones that are very unique. Like I'm thinking about the one with the girl with the stars in her hair. Like I'm not going to do something that's exactly like that, and I've already kind of also picked my skin tones, I guess. So it's going to be more of a like a matte style, so not as much of the sort of the gradients and a lot of the, I kind of see the 100 Girl collection as a bit of experimentation. So there's some pieces in there that are very I don't know, different. Like there's some that are more like sketchy, and I kind of blended the colors a little bit. And others are just kind of at the far end of that, so more kind of a traditional. So basically, I don't want to recreate exactly what's up there, but like for example, I am gonna have a rainbow hair that's like the one that's pinned, but it's not gonna be the same hair shape, if that makes sense. So kind of using similar elements, but not copying from myself.
Yeah, that makes sense. And do you already know that? Whether some of these traits will be more work than others. And reason for asking is that I remember Sarana's comment about building the Meta Angels collection, how the wings were kind of almost too much work. Like there are 87 different wings in the Meta Angels collection, which is a lot. So do you have any traits that are like that?
I think where I'm going to run into trouble, I can already see it happening, is with the hair. So not necessarily that the hair is going to be like difficult to draw or anything. It's more so like how the hair is going to fit with like the face features. So like, for example, I have one that like it has hair kind of covering the eyes, and I'll have to kind of make sure that I have that one with the hair covering the eyes. Like I don't have like really distinctive eyes that are hidden underneath the like bangs. So I think that's kind of where I'm going to run into trouble the most. Yes, but nothing as gorgeous as like and beautifully intricate as those wings. Like also Espresso. Like I'm actually a Meta Angel lender, so Espresso lent me one of his angels, and the one that I have borrowed is like it has these beautiful like flower wings, and it's truly spectacular. Even in just like a small little PFP form as well, like it's just gorgeous. But no, I think I tried to stay away from anything that would be too difficult. I did have some like initial ideas of doing more like almost like a cyberpunk type thing. Like that was my initial thought for the collection, like random eye pieces and things like that. But like when you're doing the layers, those kind of, you have to be really careful, I guess. Like if you're going to be layering things on top of other things, like even right now, like the cat ears, like I'm not sure I'm going to keep them because they're a bit, they don't work with every hairstyle. So I think my problem is like my hair. I have a lot of different hairstyles. Also just like drawing hair generally. So it'll be like 200 hairstyles in like two t-shirts, but hopefully not.
Yeah. I can see how that's a lot of work, making the hair work with the eyes and with any kind of additional traits. Also wanted to, very curious about the process, and wanted to ask, first of all, what kind of tools are you using to make both this 100 Gold collection and the generative one?
That is a very good question. So I'm currently using, I'm using an iPad Pro with a second generation Apple Pencil that kind of clips into the side. So a lot of the initial, a lot of the work that I'm creating the traits and everything is going to be in Procreate, using kind of like their, well, I've kind of jazzed up the brushes a little, but nothing too crazy, just kind of like this typical brushes and in Procreate. And then once I've kind of made all of the traits, I'm making it on my iPad. I'm using the app Procreate. And so in Procreate, I'm kind of using it to get a general, like draw the traits basically first. I'm also using it to create layers of traits. So on my iPad right now, I probably have like five or six different files. And then in each file is like where I'm working on the different trait. So like in one, I'm doing like t-shirts and like clothing, and then like the other, I'm doing like hair, and then the other, I'm doing like skin tone and things like that. So once I kind of have those like all done, or as much as I like, I will take the files and move into Photoshop, where I will use, I think I'm going to be using Nifty Generator to start. So basically once you go to Photoshop, you kind of like take the layered files and you, I believe, I haven't done a ton of research into this yet, but you basically export them as PNGs, and basically like transparent little files. So like, for example, like I have like a skull t-shirt. So like the skull t-shirt will be on one layer, and then the other layer will be the striped t-shirt and the tank top. So that'll all kind of get exported one by one. And then that will go into a folder. And then, so there'll be like a hair folder, a t-shirt folder, a face folder, a skin folder. And then I'm going to be using something like Nifty Generator, which I believe you put in like what your things are, like hairstyles and things like that. And then it will actually run through the file, the folders that you have with the PNGs and like grab random ones and make the PFPs themselves. So that will be an interesting process because currently I am using a broken, my MacBook, I dropped it not too long ago. So not too long ago, but like maybe about a year ago, I dropped it and there's like a big crack in the screen. So that's part of the reason actually also why I'm trying to fundraise for the collection. Eventually when I get there, I have a couple friends and there's like a local artist run center that I can probably go in and use some of their like higher quality machines. So hopefully I'll be able to run through all of the PNGs and like actually create the images. And then I believe they get uploaded through like a smart contract, but onto like OpenSea or I haven't quite delved into the tech part, which is why I have like a backup solution if that doesn't go so well. But for the PFP, like the 100 Girl collection, basically that was all done in Procreate and each image is like a bunch of different layers and it wasn't as like prescribed as the stuff I'm doing with the generative collection. So it was just nice to like draw some hair and then be like, oh, maybe this like stars would look nice in the hair and things like that. So it was really fun to kind of like more playful and not necessarily more creative, but I had a lot of fun doing it. Whereas this is a bit more like, it's also like got my analytical side going where I'm like, okay, so this hair can't overlap with this. And then like when I take this out, it probably shouldn't be like a pure white because I don't know if that's going to be see-through when it's a PNG, which is like usually the white is transparent in a PNG file. So I'm like, I have to think about a couple things a little bit more. Yeah, so that's generally the process. I know some artists, they also take the art. They kind of use Procreate as like the initial sketch. And then they'll go into something like Adobe Illustrator and then make it either like a vector file or they'll add like some really nice gradients, which Procreate doesn't really have that, but it's like another different way to kind of jazz up the artwork. You can bring it into Photoshop or into Adobe Illustrator.
Yeah, and we have lots of people who use Procreate and mention that. So that's certainly an app that's a lot in use by artists making NFTs. So, and this Nifty generator is interesting. I actually haven't seen that one before, so that's great. And it seems like you can make all the layers, as you said, and upload them, and they will take care of generating the variations. So that's a lot of work taken off your plate, right?
Yes, and there are like, so something that I've noticed through like this whole process is like there's a range. So at the far end of the range where it's very technical, you could do something like, I think it's called the Hash Lips Art Generator, which when I first looked at it, it's a bit more technical looking. So I was like, I'm not sure if I'll have enough time to get to this, but I could do it. And then I think Nifty Generator is more in the middle. I've seen a lot of people use that who say it doesn't take a lot of coding and kind of what I looked at, it doesn't seem too difficult. And then like on the far end, where it's like an all-in-one option, I'm going to be testing something called, Buevo NFT Generator. So it is a service you have to pay for, whereas I believe the other two are free or cheap. But it will also help you generate your images in a code-free way. And I think they may also help you with the like smart contract aspect, so, like actually uploading your art to like a marketplace or like a Mint website. So that's kind of my last hope if I can't figure out Nifty Generator in the other one. But it's nice that there's more options. And but it's also a little daunting too to like do things like this on your own. So that I think that's, I kind of feel like when I'm posting my little list every day that like, I don't know, like everybody's helping me, not really helping me, but we're just like, I don't know, people are just out there and it's like nice instead of like doing it all by myself, because like I think as us as artists, like we don't really have a team, and because art has typically been like undervalued, at least in the last like, I don't know, 10 or 20 years, maybe even way before that, like we don't actually have deep pockets to like go and like hire big teams or anything like that. So it's really nice to like try and do something as much as you can on your own. And like, I know it's obviously it's not going to be as perfect as if I had like, I don't know, 10 Ethereum to like really launch the project, but it's an experiment, so it's fun.
Yeah, that's great. And so one follow-up question is, have you thought anything about kind of what it will be like after launching this generative collection? Do you have any thoughts or plans for how to get it out there, or is that way too early?
No, so that's a great question. So after the 100-day collection is completed, I'm going to be spending more time on sort of building my, I'm going to use some air quotes, but you can't see them, brand, which is basically the idea of the brand that I want to create after the 100-day project, which is what the PFP collection is going to be about, is it's called, excuse me, Newfound Friends. And basically the idea is that I want the art to mean something, but also as myself, like I'm coming, I guess the meaning kind of like behind my collection, like the generative collection as well, is like, I'm not a full-time artist. And actually, like when I was a child, I was actually discouraged from pursuing art as a career. And
wait, Ellie, you're not a full-time artist and you're doing all this? Oh my goodness. I'm sorry, I just had to interrupt to say that.
Yeah, no, I have a full-time job right now, which is sometimes, don't rat me out, guys. But sometimes I do like, I tweet during the day when I should be working, or like I take a break and I'm like on Twitter. But no, I'm not a full-time artist. I'm not full-time in Web3. So I do have like a regular full-time job. And so basically like when I was younger, I was really good at art and I really loved drawing, and I drew all these girls, and you know, I just had like notebooks full of like sketches and like outfit ideas and like all these cool things. And then I was also really good though at like a lot of other things, like science and math and like language arts. So kind of around the high school age, which in Canada is when you kind of have to like quote unquote decide what you want to do with your life, I was really kind of encouraged to not pursue art and to go a different direction. I did multimedia, which was like video editing, and that was kind of the most arty that I got. I also did English, like communications, so like writing essays and that type of thing. And then basically after I graduated, I spent a lot of time kind of dabbling in art, but not really being the full artist that I know I could be and that I want to be. And then so being someone who is like an amateur coming at this, like there's a lot of things that people who have a classic art background that they just know, or that they just like know how to do, or that they've learned through like, you know, a life drawing course, they learned like how to draw faces better, or like because their art was encouraged more, they drew more, and they were like kind of really got those skills honed. So I'm part of what I want to do with like Newfound Friends and like the kind of brand, I guess, that I want to create after this is to really offer like art education and like art tools for as many people as possible. So like with me, after I'm kind of done this process, I'm gonna like really try and write up a really robust like tutorial on like how to, or how I launched a collection, like how you could do it too. And then also either just, even if I don't make the resources, like finding resources for people on like how to do art, because I really think that, I feel like there's a lot of people who wanna be artists, but they're not artists right now, like they're doing something else, and they don't necessarily know all the things to be an artist, or like those little technical things, or even like things like, oh, you should probably draw every day. Like, there's just so many different things that you miss out on as part of like an arts education, and like even like an art life that you don't necessarily get if you pursue something else. So that's kind of the rough edges of what I hope to accomplish in like my other brand thing. I don't know.
Yeah, that's so great to hear. It also aligns very well with what we're trying to do here with Angel Swing, trying to help people and help artists in this space. It's there is a lot to learn, right? And a lot of decisions to make when trying to make art and put it online. And anything and everything we can do to help people get going on this journey is very valuable, I feel. And we have also a question from the audience via Discord. Question sure. of what artists or art are you inspired by?
This is a good question. I was actually nervous. I was like, wait, this is a fireside chat, and we're gonna have to like come up with like my 10-point plan, my roadmap. But okay, this is a good question. So I would say I'm definitely inspired. I think his name is Adrian Tomine. He is a graphic novelist who does a lot of sort of like matte two-tone graphic novels. I believe he's Canadian. I just really love his work, and so like that, I'm also very inspired. One of my favorite artists is also Andy Warhol, and I feel like everyone likes Andy Warhol, but like I was a little bit obsessed with him when I was growing up, and I like bought his like journals, and like I read all the journal pages, and like basically he like called his accountant every day for like a few years and would like tell him about his expenses. And I guess that kind of fits with like why I like process, because I like kind of peering into the world of an artist and like seeing like the real nitty-gritty. So like he would basically like call and be like, I spent $2.55 on a paintbrush today, and it was just very interesting. I really liked reading and learning about his life and things like that. I also really like, I'm probably not gonna say this right, I believe it's Yayao Kusama. And she does a lot of work with like dots, and she also does installation art, which has been like, I think it's been touring for the past couple of years, where it's very beautiful and you go into like little rooms and look at these like lights everywhere, and it's very cool. I actually got to see the exhibit when it came to a local city near me. But one of the reasons I really like her and why I'm really inspired by her art in general is that she is, I believe she's getting up there in age, almost like 80s. But she basically said she's going to make art every day until she dies. So for her, art is a calling, and it's something that even like regardless of what is going on, like if she's like exhibiting or touring or whatever, she always tries to like make time to do art every day, which I believe is like, I find that incredibly inspiring. So I would say like she's one of my influences as well.
Thank you. Yeah. A slightly different question is, if you can tell us a bit more about the process. Like, first of all, really blown away by the fact that you're not doing this on full time. I was convinced this was a full time project for 100 days. So that's really impressive. And
yeah, especially I think we need to kick our project up a notch, since now we know that you can do things not even being full time.
Yeah, can't use that excuse anymore.
I mean, I don't want to show anybody up. I'm a little bit, I don't have a life outside of this.
Yeah, no. I wanted to ask about these Twitter updates that you're making every day with the notebook, which I find really fascinating. seeing how you structure the work and how you tick off stuff. So what's the thinking behind, first of all, the structure you've made in for your daily work, and also the thinking behind sharing it?
That's a good question. So I'm kind of, I'm a type A person, I guess. So even like which, you know, gets me into trouble sometimes because I can be a perfectionist at times. But part of the reason I wanted to do lists every day is because for me, it's a sense of accountability. I'm just a single person doing this. I mean, I've seen myself do other art projects in the past where I've had like every best intention of doing it. But I find like for myself, I need a little bit of accountability, whether that's like texting somebody or like texting a friend that I'm gonna go for a walk or something. But I really wanted to have that accountability on Twitter and post it every day for myself mainly. Secondly, I think it's an interesting peer into like the life of the project and like what I'm doing day to day. And I also feel like I don't necessarily have the time to like explain exactly what I'm doing every day, but at least you can kind of see what I'm doing every day on the list. And I decided kind of right at the beginning to structure it as both having like a list for my project and for habits. Although lately I haven't been doing a really good job with my habits, but the habits are really, this is kind of like, because I'm not doing this full time and I'm like, I can kind of burn myself out. The habits are really things that I've kind of learned through trial and error, or like a baseline for me. So like, I basically need to do all of these things to kind of meet my own personal needs. So let's say drinking water, doing a little bit of like cleaning so things don't get hectic, doing a little bit of reading. So I really wanted to build that in because I knew if I didn't put it on the list, it would just be like a list of 10 things I want to do that day for the project, which I might not have got as many done. So also it's just really, that part is really for me and like my, what I need to do every day to be like a human in the world. Also, one of the reasons I made a decision kind of early on that, and this kind of also ties back into the artwork as well. And I'm not sure it's going to be a decision that like plays off very well. So who knows? I made a decision to draw so sharing the notebooks instead of actually like typing it out and like posting it online and you know, like I take a screenshot like from my notes app. I made the decision right away because I really wanted people to see me like as a person, because I think on Twitter a lot of the times we don't really, I mean, we're all like little PFP characters or some people have their pictures, but really seeing my handwriting every day and like I really feel like that is, it's like a part of me. So when people see the writing, it's like something that I did myself like that day. So I kind of wanted to build a bit of a personal connection with that aspect. And then I've kind of carried that through to the art as well. So this is something that I really struggled with and I still kind of struggle with as well. But I made the decision not to have perfect lines in my artwork. And I know this might seem like a bit of a like weird choice, but especially like if you look at the PFP collection and the 100 Day Girl collection, for example, like if you look at them, like the lines might be good, but if you look at some others, there's like the lines are wobbly basically. And that is a conscious, well, two decisions. One, I don't like the way that the lines look when they're not wobbly, and two, for me, that's another way of putting a little bit of myself into the artwork, is by having those lines that aren't necessarily perfect. So for me, that was like really important as an artist, like actually show a little bit of imperfection and then to show that like I actually drew this, and like with these lists, like I actually wrote them. So for me, that's kind of like, I mean, again, like I did kind of say before, like I'm kind of going for a nice cleaner aesthetic, so I'm not sure people are gonna look at them and be like, ooh, these don't look so good with the lines, but it's important to have a bit of I think like wabi-sabi, like a little bit of imperfection in them as well. Also, it helps me because I'm a perfectionist. So like, if the lines don't have to be perfect, it makes things easier for me.
Yeah, that's so inspiring as well. And I also love that the fact that you're sharing the progress on Twitter also makes it easier to understand how the project is coming to life and how after the fact how it came to life, which at least to me as a collector primarily is a big part of understanding kind of the history behind the work. So wouldn't go ahead and collect something without first researching who's the artist, how did they make this, what's kind of the history behind it. So very inspiring to see this approach, and urging more artists to share about their process, because it's super interesting and very inspiring.
Yeah, I just wanted to add as well that, wow, I mean, Ali, you're truly an inspiration. You're part-time, you're working with a broken MacBook, and you're still churning out things day by day. We do have a question on Discord, actually, about, on a related note, how do you keep yourself going? I mean, I'm sure there are days where you look at all these roadblocks and challenges ahead of you, and you're like, is this too much for me? How do you just keep yourself going?
That's a very good question. Actually, I had a bad weekend with like my project. Like, I haven't really been doing a lot because coincidentally, I also put in an offer to buy a house this past week. So like,
okay, you can afford a house, but you can't afford a MacBook.
So I have
okay, sorry, that was just a little bit of a joke. Yeah, you don't have to share if it's too private. It's fine.
I'm getting help to buy a house.
Yeah, no, Casper needs to remember that houses are bought with imaginary money, right? You never see the money that goes into a house.
So just, you know, going back to the house, part of this project too is like, I am married, and something that's very important to me is like not making sure that like any money that goes into the project is not money that goes out of my family life. So for me, yes, like we've saved for like several years to try and buy a house. And like, I did at one point, I was like, ooh, you know, I could just pull like this much money and like, it would be great. I could do this very easily. I chose not to, also because I'm very paranoid of like bankrupting my family through NFTs. Like, I don't know why, it's like a worry of mine. So try to be very careful with like my balance of like my IRL money and basically anything I put into this is and my art as well, like my iPad and things like that are things that I've saved up over time that haven't come out of our family life money. But anyways, so this is very good. Like, I like coming here and chatting about my project. Like, this is probably going to give me like a bit of a boost to like keep going with things. I also think that I like promised I would do this, and I've been like posting every day, so I don't want to like be a rug project, so I put a little bit of pressure on myself to like keep going. Also, I feel like once you kind of how do I put this, there's a point where in any kind of project, even if like you're working on like a business or something, where you kind of hit a critical mass and like you feel like things are finally getting going, and it's all the work that was like leading up to it that kind of got you there. And then so it almost feels like everything is a little bit easier, and like you kind of get into the flow state with your project or even with your art and things like that. So I feel like it was a bit of a battle to get here, but I feel like I'm kind of moving into more of a flow state where I'm not going to be doing as much like research and like thinking and contemplating. So I'm really excited for like that next flow part.
Hey, hi, Ali. I was taking notes this time, so it's just listening and all the good questions has been already asked by Espresso and Casper as usual. I wanted to say that I find it really incredible how you're doing all this project basically on your own, and also given that you're doing this as a side project, and at the same time you're staying so consistent, and as you said that just to be accountable to yourself, it's just really amazing. And I think this is very inspirational for lots of other people in this community. I actually really like I think your PFP project is really unique in the way that regarding your own style, and you said that before that you are trying to find a balance between your own artistic integrity and at the same time to fulfill the demand of the market. This is something actually we have been talking about in the Angel's Wing Gallery recently, and it's very interesting. And I like that you actually approach this whole art project also from a business-oriented approach. And you did a lot of market research, and I think lots of artists, and I think this is actually fine, as when they start out, they just put out some artwork and see how it goes. And but I think to be really successful, I think your approach is really the way to go. To run this basically as a business and stay accountable to yourself. And at the same time, also doing market research to understand what people actually want. And there's one thing I wanted to say, that you said that before you drew your characters like intentionally with not perfect lines. And I actually really like this approach, because we actually had a discussion last time also in our Twitter space that it's actually not important to show perfect artwork. I think what people actually want is they want to see emotions, and they want to see something that they can relate to. And this is, I think, what convinces someone or a collector to buy your artwork, is they want to see the emotion behind it. And I think it's your approach is actually perfect, being the way it is. And I wanted to ask you, because I looked at your characters and they are all very diverse, and I was wondering whether you kind of like identify yourself with these different characters, or how you come up with these different stories. Just as curious.
Thank you for all the wonderful things you said about me. sorry, I'm just, it's very validating to like come here and be like, oh, you guys are doing a good job. Where, you know, I think a lot of us as artists, like I probably have like a dark night of the soul like once a week, where I'm like, I should just delete everything and like quit. And anyways, so that's very nice to hear. Yes, you mentioned that the characters are very diverse, and there's also little storylines that you picked up on, which is fun. So I haven't been doing any writing lately, but I have in the past done a lot of like writing, so like writing short stories or writing little like novels that didn't really go anywhere. So I think part of that too was I wanted to add a little bit of writing into the PFPs, and some of the writing I kind of added after the fact, but some of the writing is actually kind of like what I felt or kind of came up with when I was actually drawing it, once I decided I was going to do that. And then on diversity in the characters, so like I do identify as a queer person. I am married to woman. We've got married in the pandemic. That's a whole other story. The beginning of the pandemic, before everything kind of shut down. But for me, diversity and having diverse characters is really important. This is kind of a bit personal, but it's just a fireside chat. Growing up, I have like four siblings, and my oldest sister, who's technically my half sibling, is Black or African Canadian or whatever words you want to use. I am myself, I'm a white person, but I could see growing up when I was younger, there were a lot of differences that I noticed between how she was getting treated and like how I was getting treated. So like I would notice like people would be meaner to her, for example, or like there wouldn't necessarily be characters in a story who like looked like her, but they would look like me. So I was kind of curious about that growing up, and like people would be like, oh, she's not your sister because she doesn't look like you. So I think for me, like, I really try to have diverse characters and diverse skin tones and diverse hair, because I come from a diverse background, and I do want to see people see themselves in the artwork or see their family in the artwork, whatever that looks like to them. Yeah, it's also just more fun, and like seeing the way different colors pop on like a darker skin tone. I really love playing with contrast a lot as well. So I think that's something I try to consciously do in my work. But also, like, I mean, maybe not for the 100 Day Girl collection. I didn't sort of consciously be like, oh, this character has to be this skin color. But it just kind of came out like that. But I guess it comes from like my diverse background. Oh my gosh, you guys can't see this, but I'm basically waving my hands around a lot. So it's very funny over here to myself.
Nice. Thank you so much for sharing. That's I can imagine how that experience is shaping the how you think about the art. So that's really great to, that you open up and share about this.
I think this is actually exactly why people buy certain types of artwork, is that you are actually showing your own story in it. And it's just not like a piece of, like a nice piece of art that you want to try and make money off, but you are basically telling your whole story or your own story in your artwork. And this is, I think it's very nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we do have time for a question or two more. Even though we try to aim at 1 hour, and we're at the 1 hour mark, so I'm trying not to spend too much of everyone's Sunday. And we do also have a request from the audience. Can add you as a speaker if you have a question. Okay, well, one more attempt. Let's see. So yeah, did you have a question for Ali?
Yeah, actually I have. And I was about to say that first of all, it's how can you do this in such a short period of time? Like, I think it's very like 100 days. How can you do this?
By being very organized, I guess. Also, to give a bit of context, this kind of goes back to Yoon, who said earlier about like kind of what I talked about, like art to market, where I'm making art that people actually maybe might possibly hopefully want to buy. I think it's a lot. It's how to put this. Now that I know what I'm doing, I'm not as worried about doing it because I've had a lot of thought and done a lot of research kind of on the front end. And yes, 100 days is, it's not a lot of time. So I think basically it just, I'm going to kind of go back to what I said before. It comes down to organization and really trying to put in the time every day and then getting up to that point where you really see the momentum. So like to give a bit of background, this isn't my first foray into the NFT world. I actually made a project that nobody bought and then I ended up deleting it all because I didn't do any research. It wasn't even related to people. It wasn't anything I've ever done before. It was a little bit weird. I was trying to sell bricks online. So basically I was doing like hand-drawn bricks, and I did that like basically every day for several hours a day. I drew those like onto the bricks or whatever. And then basically I kind of knew that, okay, well, I did these all as like one of ones, and that took me about like 60 days of like a lot of work and time. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be doing traits now, which is not one of ones. So that's going to take me less time. I can probably do more traits per hour than I could do like my old previous bricks. So it's also about finding something I really struggle with as like a perfectionist is actually finding the time to do things. So like, I feel like sometimes we think, oh, I have to have like a free afternoon to do my art. I have to, you know, block off time to do this for like 3 straight hours. And yes, that would be ideal. But sometimes I just draw like on my lunch break or from listening to like a Spaces or I kind of try to find little pockets of time throughout the day where I'm not doing something, and then do something related to the project, even if that's just like DMing Casper back on Twitter after ghosting the gallery for like 2 weeks. So
yeah, don't worry, nothing personal. I didn't take it personally.
Finding the time or making the time and like always having this as like, okay, I'm not doing anything right now. What could I be doing?
Well, that's really interesting. But you know, that's just for me, it's like, it's very hard to be, honestly, to be such, you know, motivated for 100 days, because you said that you're like doing it every day for several hours. And like, are you like this as a person? I mean, you know, the person who can work like every day for several hours for, you know, just for me, it's hard to imagine like being so concentrated, so motivated for 100 days. Like, probably like, tell about yourself as a person.
Yeah, so I am a type A person. I am a little bit crazy. I'll say crazy in like air quotes, but like, I think part of it too, yes, you are hitting on something like some of this is just like my personality and who I am as a person. Like I've also done like challenges in the past where I've had to do something for like 30 or 75 days for different thing. So it is a natural extension of me to do something like this. Maybe not natural, but it is like an extension of like things I've done before, even if it's not necessarily art related. But for somebody else kind of coming at this, and you're like, oh, you know, I don't have several hours a day to spend doing this, or that's not just, you know, I have a life, like this isn't what I want to do 24/7 and things like that. It can be about where do you want to start something. Like, for example, like with the 100 girls, like I think if you want to start something, you could start a PFP collection, a one-of-one collection, where maybe you aren't spending a ton of time doing something every day, but you're doing a little bit, and then maybe after a couple weeks, you have three or four drawings that you want to launch. I've seen some artists such as, I think her name is Lisa Chow, she's the one doing the design for Hug XYZ, like their PFP. And she just released a little collection of three one-of-ones, and they were animated, so like she did spend a good amount of time, but I knew that she'd been working on those for a few months. So it wasn't something that she kind of like, and she's very busy, she has a lot going on with like her personal home life and everything like that. So I do think having a goal is good, and having a goal that works for you is the most important. So like, yes, having 100 days is not going to be accessible for everybody, that maybe doing one animated NFT or three NFTs in a month might be more doable for someone else. But it's all about kind of challenging yourself in a way that doesn't feel like you're under the gun. So for me, this is like, I'm putting a little bit of pressure on myself. But I also find it fun. So I wouldn't want anyone to, I say like, don't blow up your life. Don't take on too much where you just kind of go a little too hectic. That's kind of my advice. So really start, how can you start today with the smallest little promise to yourself and your artwork, and then build that up over time?
Thank you, Ellie, for answering. It was really interesting to listen to you. I heard what I like wanted the answers, and nice. I think I should, yeah, like go back to the listeners, because you know, I'm out of questions, and thank you so much. And I wish you luck in what you're doing. It's really cool. Good luck.
Thank you. That was a very good question. Yeah,
thank you so much for those questions. And we are going to round it up at this point, unless there's any other final questions. But I think you were bit over an hour, and it's been a great chat with you, Ali. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing about your project and everything we've been through. This is going to be great also as a recording for people who for some reasons were not able to join. We keep trying to find good time slots, but with time zones it's impossible, right? So I know people have said they want to listen into the recording as well, so that would be great. Just wanted to add that we do have additional artists joining the Angel's Wing Gallery as we speak. We will be following up with more chats with artists, and we have these weekly spaces, so be on the lookout for those. And we announce on Twitter everyone who's joining the gallery. And so, yeah, I just wanted to plug that before we log off here. So I think that's it for today. Thank you so much, Ali, and my lovely co-hosts, Casper and June.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say a word of thanks as well to Ali. Very inspirational discussion, and thanks for sharing some of your personal stories. I really like that. And thank you so much to all the listeners. We're really glad you could spend your Sunday with us. I really appreciate your time. Yeah, we do hope this little collective of ours keeps growing, and hope that you'll support us. And please support Ali as well. She's having her 1-1 collection on sale right now. Do check it out. It's on the pinned tweet. Do give her your support and watch her on this journey. Anything else from Yoon?
Yeah, thank you everyone for joining. And I think we need to have Ali once again on the show when she is ready to launch her 10K project. I'm really excited.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, thank you everyone. Have a great Sunday.
Bye.
Bye.